Right, let me know when you're ready with your hair.
No, I'm ready.
You're ready? Okay.
We've been here for a week looking at this thing.
Yeah. It's been a long week.
No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't, actually.
Oh, my word. Just blow my hair forward.
So when is yours arriving?
In my dreams, 2027? I'm afraid.
No.
Well, episode 4, Duncan.
Episode 4. So let's get rid of the Toyota. I think a week of staring at it is enough. How are you, William?
I am fine.
Prince fiddle, William. William fiddle. The Conqueror. What am I calling you this week?
How do people put it? Generically, illustriously, wondrously happy to be here in your company again.
Good. You must have had a good Christmas break and looking fantastic. Forward to the new year.
Absolutely fantastic. Great. Excellent. Could do with another one.
Got lots of news to talk about. We're going to dive into it. Where shall we start? You've got a story at the top of the list here. Donald Mackay, I presume it's pronounced. I don't know who he is. Tell us who he is and so what he's got.
He's this guy that does trade advisory services and looks at import tariffs. And is a generally all-round very interesting, intelligent fellow. And he and I are toying with the idea of scratching at a particularly ugly scab and picking at it to see what's underneath the surface there. And so what we're tossing around in our mind is
sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's the one topic no one talks about. And it's, do our OEMs add value or detract value from the South African general economy? And it goes around the fact that we pay an import duty on cars to protect and support our OEMs to ensure that we have an industry. And in turn, they export a bunch of stuff generating revenue for the country and sell cars into the local market and create what's on the face of it, a lot of jobs, well over 100,000, 115,000, 120,000. And the question has arisen in a number of discussions from a number of prominent economists, Dorothy Ritz being one of them, and our friend Dr. Franz Cournier also mentioned it a couple of times. And I thought, well, let's just see what the numbers actually stack up like. It's extraordinarily complicated. Government's not even entirely sure how much money they give to the OEMs and how much money the OEMs actually generate, because there's all sorts of credits that they generate that they can sell to other OEMs to offset import duties and all this kind of thing. So it's a work in progress. I'm just mentioning it as a discussion point, and we just want to see broad stroke, brush stroke numbers to get a sense of what it is that our industry is facing, what its likelihood for survival is, and what the impact on our economy might be in the event that we either continue with them or we don't. We just want to scenario plan a couple of things and just see what comes of it.
Okay.
It's a topic that no one really actually addresses in any meaningful detail. So we want to give it a little bit of attention and see what we find. If it starts to become too complicated and too complex, then we'll just leave it to Business Day and they can go away and do it.
It does sound like you're taking on a lot.
It'll be interesting to see what comes out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us an update on a future episode.
We shall do so.
And wheels.
Maybe get Donald in to have a chat with us. Yeah. Interesting.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Now, bike. I think that's how you pronounce it. Not bake.
Bike.
Bike.
B-A-I-C.
B-A-I-C. They're a Chinese, big Chinese player.
Let's talk more about scratching scabs here, shall we? Because, they've got a television ad for their B30, which they claim is made in South Africa. And that triggered me, I'm not easily triggered. I'm one who's very sane, rational, calm, collected, never fly off the handle on anything.
As viewers of this show know all too well.
I'm a warm, giving, I'm just easy to get on type of guy. But, for a manufacturer to come and claim it's made in South Africa, it annoyed me, because it's a question of how do we define made? What does made mean? And it may mean different things to different people. So, for example, if you're a Toyota, you go and you buy the metal from ArcelorMittal, you used to buy the metal from ArcelorMittal. You used to put it in your own machine. You used to stamp it on your own machine and put it onto your factory floor. You'd go to a local supplier for your wiring harness who's bought all the wires and put them all together, and you know, so it's a local ecosystem of suppliers, mm-hmm. and you'd bring in some stuff from overseas and you'd form what they call a complete knockdown vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So is it 50% of everything that you've bought qualifies you to be made in South Africa, or is it 70%? What is that number? And across all the OEMs, it's going to differ. You know, Toyota might use, I don't know, 70%, and Mercedes might use 69.5%. You know, so the question for me is, what does made in South Africa mean versus what bike are doing, which is assembled in South Africa, mm-hmm. where they just import all the parts from China and screw it all together in the factory here locally and send it off. I'm not saying that they're not going to build into a full local supply of all the parts that they need, but for a Chinese manufacturer, I don't think that's likely. They've got too much invested in China. They can produce the stuff cheaper in China. All they have to do is stick it on a boat, mm-hmm. screw it together here, and off you go.
That must be a tax decision, right?
Well, I think so. And, mm-hmm. and assembled in South Africa is a different thing to made in South Africa, in my mind.
Sure.
Made in South Africa means South Africans use South African materials to build a South African-made product in a South African factory,
mm-hmm.
not stuff imported from elsewhere, assembled in a South African factory.
Well, we've had this in the PC industry in South Africa for many years.
100%.
Mustek, for example, is an assembler of computers. And they call themselves that, the Mesa brand. They bring in all the components from Taiwan and China, and they put them together on their assembly line at their factory in Midrand.
Exactly. So it's assembled here.
But they call themselves an assembler, not a manufacturer.
And I think that distinction needs to be made.
Mm.
So I'm disappointed in by claiming made in South Africa when I think assembled is the appropriate terminology.
Okay. Where are they assembling these vehicles? Do we know?
This is down the factory in Quebecha.
Quebecha, okay.
Quebecha, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a small point, but I just think it's an important one that we need to distinguish between, especially if we're going into what do our OEMs actually contribute to our economy, how does it all work, and if we're going to get onto that particular soapbox, we need to be consistent in our approach. So
how big is bike in Southern?
It's my little. No, that's not right. I think it should be assembled, not made. Mm-hmm. They don't sell massive quantities yet, but you know, it's a case of.
I've seen quite a few of them on the road.
They're the ones who put a factory in place.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent the factory's used is irrelevant, but they've made an investment.
Mm.
So you know, kudos to them. It's. I think we're going to see more of it because mm-hmm. we know Chery are talking about doing the pre-feasibility mm-hmm. or feasibility studies on building cars in South Africa again, mm-hmm. assembling versus building. Time will tell.
Probably a good point to chat about something we completely forgot to speak about in episode 3, and that was our interview with Steve Chang from BYD and what he said about building a BYD factory in South Africa. Short answer is it's not happening yet.
No, and again, I think his approach was quite refreshing, quite honest, and you know, it's kind of like, well, why would we? Because we can build a hell of a lot cheaper in China.
Yeah.
So.
And the market is not big enough for us. Yeah. If the African market gets big enough, then we'll revisit the equation, which makes sense.
It's absolutely. It's spot on, exactly the correct thinking. You know, it's a case of, you know, understand where you are and understand that the South African market, specifically being 50% of the whole African market. Is still teeny tiny compared to global markets.
Yeah, for sure, for
you
sure.
Know, sell 90 million cars a year, 600,000 in South Africa. Do the math.
Yeah, for sure. Now, zero carbon charge. These are the guys who are rolling out completely off-grid charging stations in South Africa. They built a demonstration site at near Wolmaranstad in Northwest. I like the team behind this. They're a bunch of entrepreneurs who are having a go at it in a difficult, challenging market where we have BYD breathing down their necks. I know you're a little bit skeptical about the opportunity here, but I think, you know, local entrepreneurs, they deserve some support.
As long as they make money, and they've got investment from DTIC, to the tune of 45 million already for the further.
Was it the DBSA or IDC? I forget which, but I think it might have been the IDC.
Could have been
bad of me to forget this.
With more money, providing they do a second capital raise.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur myself. I'm all for it. My concern is whether it's going to be financially viable.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest concern with it is I think that they're early.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not seeing the numbers of EVs in place to support their business model yet. And my concern is if they do go and spend hundreds of millions of rands building these things out, that cost of capital is going to eat them alive.
Mm.
You know, it'll
and they're not BYD.
They're not BYD.
They don't have that balance sheet.
They're not BYD. They don't have that balance sheet, and they may find themselves running out of money at a rapid rate, because you know to make these things viable, you've got to have cars that use them on a regular basis. Mm. So. It's from there that my skepticism stems. You know, as I say, I think they're early.
I think you're right. I would. But carry on late, right?
I would carry on with the pilot. Yeah. You know, what they have done, typical South Africans, they've been thinking about this for some time. So they've got all their permitting, their sites already identified.
Mm.
I would shelve it. Put it on the shelf.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. And when you're ready, pop, and you just go,
mm-hmm.
because it's a case of these things are not years to put
build
together.
Some strategic sites though along high traffic routes, which is what they're doing now. Wormerandstad always seemed to me to be an odd one because there's not a big volume of EVs on that route.
I think certainly there's a case to be made for that. You know, so you can to extent build it and they will come type thing. But I think you know, possibly for these guys, the big opportunity really starts with commercial. I mean, that's where EV is starting to really gain some traction. Mm. Now they've got all the tech, they've got all the infrastructure, they can go to a big trucking company and say, listen guys, here it is, bang, off you go. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you put it there, you can start to sell from the guys who are coming past, you know the market they're currently targeting. Mm. So they get the big guys to bankroll their existing business. Mail me a check when you implement that, guys. So let's see.
But good luck to them.
Let's see how they go.
They're taking a risk. They're a bunch of entrepreneurs. They're putting their own money behind it. Well, not their own, all their own money, but they've certainly have stumped up a lot of their own cash in the proof of concept. And they're building along the N3 with a station to go on the N1 as well. And these are high traffic routes, so one hopes that by the time they're ready,
our friends at Accenture are certainly
backing them.
And the proof of concept is really working well. So that's
went out to that site when it was launched, and it's impressive.
It's nuts. It's big charging of batteries and the sun, you know. So maybe too many batteries but you know, be that as it may, that'll come out in the wash. But in you know, the theory works. Mm. So it absolutely works. Let's see.
So all strength to them. Probably a bit early, but as I said, better than being late if you want to win this market.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a case of.
But I'd be very worried about BYD if I were these guys.
Yeah, I think that is something that probably might be have to be addressed at some point in time. You know, sort of. You know,
yeah. Okay. Right. So, as I hinted in the closing moments of the last episode, I had the opportunity to play an Uber driver in one of these new Uber Go electric vehicles. And
Voltternative.
They're a South African startup that
Now we're talking about entrepreneurs, you know, sort of putting their time and money and effort and energy into this thing. I think they're completely nuts, but because I happen to agree with their business model, I think this one is one to watch. You know, for me, when EVs were announced and you started to see the small, cheap Chinese EVs running around, I was like, well, why the hell are they not here doing Uber?
Mm.
Why is this not already a thing? And I was thinking these thoughts, it's easy to say post the fact, but I mean, I was thinking these thoughts at least a year and a half ago. And in fact, on my laptop, I have a little bit of a business case around doing this for last mile deliveries for couriers, which weirdly enough is exactly what they're looking at.
Okay.
So this is a really cheap little EV.
Really cheap.
But 280Ks of range, 25 kilowatt hour battery, really built to a price. It's built to a Bolt Bajaj type.
That's the competitor.
It's a better spec than the Bajaj, but let's be honest. But it's built to that end of the market.
Let's put it in perspective. If this was sold to the public, this vehicle, which it's not,
no,
it would cost about 200,000 rand.
Correct.
Which would make it instantly the cheapest EV on sale in South Africa and probably the cheapest car as well.
With a range of 280Ks.
Mm.
So, and top speed of 90. So you're not going to be doing the highway, but if you're doing your city driving and all that, it's perfect.
Mm.
So as far as an Uber vehicle goes, I think this one ticks all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Their biggest problem is the fact that you might have a competitor coming in, but I think they've wrapped that up because Uber came to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is built to an Uber spec for Uber by Voltternative. So I think that's a very clever march and a very clever establishment of your territory in the thing. And it's being piloted in Rosebank and Sandton, as we touch on. We interviewed Mohammed, who's the...
Yeah, we're going to bring you that interview in a little bit. But first, William and I got to experience the vehicle. I got to pretend I was an Uber driver for half an hour. I picked up this reprobate in the street and we went for a drive. So, Mr. Producer, please take it away.
Well, guys, at Watson Wheels, everybody here does everything. The other day at a launch, I had Duncan as my cameraman, but he was rubbish, so I fired him. I feel a little bad now because he's had to get a job as an Uber driver. Turns out he's pretty rubbish at that as well because he's late and I'm waiting for him.
All right, I'm Duncan McLeod. I am your Uber driver for the day, believe it or not, and I am off to pick up my passenger, whose name is William Kelly. Never heard of him before, but I'm going to see him outside somewhere here, so let's go for a drive. We're in reverse. So there's a little knob where you change gears. It's an automatic, very basic feel to this, but car comes in at only 200,000 Rand roughly. So pretty impressive for the price, I'd say. Certainly the cheapest EV in the country, not that you can actually buy one of these. Right, William Kelly should be out here somewhere. Ah, there he is. There we go, let's pick him up. It's locked and I don't know how to let him in. Must be that one. No. There we go.
Are you Duncan?
I don't pick up any riffraff.
You were rubbish as a cameraman, you're rubbish as an Uber driver. Right, we are in.
Aren't you supposed to be in the back?
No, I want to see everything that we've got going on in this car. It's tiny.
So where am I taking you?
I have shoes bigger than this car. I think you could take me around the block, Duncan. Let's see what this sucker can do.
It's very basic, but it's for the price, it's,
but it's
cheap.
It's,
if this was actually on sale, if you could buy this as a consumer, this would be the cheapest car in the country. Never mind, EV.
Pretty close too, yeah. I think the Suzuki's 160.
Right, we're in drive. It's automatic.
Sure. All right, let's see what the sucker can do.
Sounds like a plane taking off.
Floor it, Duncan. Oh, you are.
I am flooring it. Sure, it's noisy.
It's not too bad for speed, acceleration.
Yeah. It's actually quite a nice drive. It's a little bit loose in the steering.
It is a bit noisy.
It's a bit noisy.
I suspect that's probably to make sure everyone knows that you're coming.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so this is a competitor to the Bajaj.
Yes.
It's already an order of magnitude better than
the Bajaj.
Bajaj I've never been in, I have to say. So it's we've got aircon, which is cool. We have electric windows, which is cool. We have, I don't know what to call this ride yet. I mean, it's a bit, it's really early.
Yeah.
Top speed of 90.
90 k's an hour. Not exactly fast.
But as a city point, you know, get from A to B.
I mean, they've launched these in Sandton and Rosebank area, and you don't need to go over 90 k's an hour if you're driving in the suburbs.
But yeah, I mean, you've got a full touchscreen. Well, yes, there's a touchscreen digital display.
Supports Android Auto and Apple CarPlay, believe it or not. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get all your full telemetrics that come with it, so that's part of your package that you pay for the car, because you don't buy these things outright, you lease them.
Yes. Oh right, okay.
And so that's all included in the price.
And where do you charge these up?
Pretty much anywhere. So it supports DC charging.
Okay.
Up to 25 kilowatts.
given that it's a 25 kilowatt battery, but you typically run between 20% and 80% as Mohammed was saying in the interview. And what's nice about that is that that process is half an hour. And the thing with Uber drivers is they'll be frenetic at certain periods of time during the day when it's peak period, and then others they'll be off. So for them to find half an hour, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, whatever, is not a big ask. It's not a big ask. And of course you can plug in normal Fleetman plugs if you wanted to.
Sure. So, but you can't do a battery swap out like you do for motorbikes.
No. That's technology that might be coming, but currently fast charging is it.
By the way, William, you better bloody well give me a 5-star rating for this.
I've just got to find you on the app. What's it? Duncan, not so good at cameraman, but better at Uber driver. I actually have got a lot of space here. I mean, I've got masses of legroom, actually. More so than in the front. Of course, it's got a completely flat floor as well, which is typical of EVs.
Oh, wait, it has a sports mode. We seem to be in the sports mode.
Wow.
Not sure how to change that.
That's okay.
It's 180 kilometers of range at 77% battery.
Yes, well, this is the remarkable thing. I mean, a full charge of the thing's got around about 280 k's of range, which on a small little car like this is plenty. It's massive.
It's got an aircon too, and it's quite effective.
Yeah. And
how's the space in the back?
Oh, it's good. It's big.
Yeah?
I've got quite a lot of headroom, a lot of legroom.
Can we fit a Springbok rugby player back there?
The seats are quite short. The bolster's quite short.
Okay.
So for larger guys,
So Bucky's Boiter's not going in there.
I think it'd fit, but he
sideways.
Yeah, his kind of like bum is going to be pitched over the edge of the seat. So the seats are Chinese size.
Right.
But I'm sure that.
But for a short hop from Rosebank to Sandton, this is perfectly adequate.
Just want to accept.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm afraid your Uber driver is lost.
Yeah.
I can see my tip slipping away.
I think you know, built to a brief. This is the car hits every spec Uber.
And it's not ugly. It's not ugly at all. It's cheap. It's entry level. But these aircon vents actually don't look bad. The styling is actually reasonable.
Only gripe is this noise.
It's a little noisy, yeah. Especially when you pick up speed, like this.
It's acceptable performance. It's not pretty slow.
It's fine for suburban traffic. Any final thoughts?
That's what it says on the tip. And no frills, no fuss. Comfortable. Seats take a little bit of getting used to, I think, as I say. They could
little
be
bit.
A little bit further forward.
Yeah.
But they're comfortable and, I think.
Does the job.
Getting from A to B does the job.
Yeah, at low cost, which is what most Uber riders want.
So, it is what it is. It's a cheap electric people mover.
And it's noisy. I mean, that's my biggest gripe with it. It's just it's just a bit noisy. And we did establish why, because the sound deadening was taken out just to give the vehicle a few kilograms less, because it was on the limit of where it needs to be in terms of its classification as an on the road vehicle. And my honest advice is, I don't know what you need to do. You need to take a spare tire out or something, but put that sound deadening back. Because it
was a little bit.
It will be better. It will be better for it. It's not unacceptably noisy.
No.
Because bear in mind that these are short haul journeys.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be
it's
doing
more of an issue for the driver. Actually.
Exactly. You're going to be doing 10 km in the vehicle. The driver will get used to it. And, headphones, earphones, whatever. But that really was it. And maybe make the back seat a little bit. There's a lot of space in the back.
Mm.
The seat just needs to be a little bit wider for the average South African, which is slightly bigger.
It might take away, but for a short 5K drive down the road, it's absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
Nothing wrong with it at all.
Perfect. And cheap as chips.
Mm.
To the point.
Uber Go pricing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is. I hate calling things as a hit because as soon as I make a prediction, that's when I'm wrong. Exactly. It's when when I don't make predictions, that's when things work out for the best. I'm not going to predict anything on this. I do think that the van version of it, which they're busy developing, is exciting.
They're an interesting company. We're going to get them on the Tech Central show sometime in the coming weeks or months. But they also do electric bikes and they're pioneering the battery swap out on bikes.
And the bikes are the bikes are very interesting in the fact that if you're doing last mile deliveries, you know, they are talking to, you know, the Checkered 6060s of the world.
Yeah.
What's very interesting about this bike story is you don't charge it. You just arrive at any of the four major petrol companies, and on the four quarters a battery, and you just swap the battery out, bang. Mm. And that's included in your price. You can do 5,000 Ks a month with as many battery swaps as you like.
Oh, that's incredible.
So that takes away all that plan. So it's very, very clever thinking that they're putting in here. And a lot of development on the bikes, you know, it has been a case of this. It's not just buy a bike and off you go. It's buy a bike, tailored to South African solutions, refine, and eventually you get to, you know, the right optimum mix. But from an owner point of view, it takes away all that pain points, you know. So it's a very, very clever model.
Mm-hmm. Right. You had an interview with Mohammed Jiwa, who's the founder and CEO of Valternative. So I think you're going to, through the magic of technology, are going to appear in this seat, and Mohammed's going to appear in that seat, and I'm going to flick my finger like this, and it's just going to happen.
Well, everyone, as you know, at What's in Wheels, we're here to bring you the latest and greatest. Something that's been sort of latest and greatest at the back of my mind has been latest and greatest for far too long a period of time. It's been one of those things that's been perfectly obvious to me. Why haven't we done it up until now? And of course, I'm talking about Uber electric cars for Ubers. It makes all the sense in the world. And opposite me, I have Mohammed Jiwa from Valternative, who's finally doing exactly what I think the market needs, and that is electric cars for Uber. Mohammed, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And your pleasure. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what Valternative does?
So Valternative started about 3 years ago, operating for 2 years. We predominantly electrify fleets for companies in South Africa.
Okay.
Uber being our anchor client. And the focus of the business is fleet management and asset management, two different business models. And focusing on the lower TCO, lowering the TCO, which is total cost of operations or ownership. And we officially launched 3 weeks ago.
So when you're saying electrifying, you're bringing these cars in, that's part of your business?
Yes. So we actually started with the two-wheelers.
Okay.
Also again with Uber and a few other aggregators or platforms in South Africa. We using electric vehicles that use battery swapping technology.
Right.
So no plug-in charge.
Right.
So there's no range anxiety. The driver can run 24/7 without plugging
in. So this applies to the cars as well?
We working on battery swapping for the vehicles, okay. But currently this is on fast charge.
So for the DC charge. For the two-wheelers, I think my wife actually pointed this out to me at one of her garages. She works for a large energy major, and she was saying that this is how these things work. The guys just arrive, swap the batteries, and off they go again.
Correct.
And what application does that particular industry have? Is it mainly last mile delivery for courier, that kind of service?
Yeah, it's last mile delivery. And most of our swap stations are currently at the top four fuel brands in South Africa and all the property groups. So we've got 140 stations installed across the country already.
So literally the bike comes in, the battery goes out into a hot swap shoe.
Yes.
Charge battery goes in, and then the old battery gets charged up.
Correct.
Waiting for the
rider has our app installed on his phone, which shows him the routes to the nearest station and assigns him to the battery that he's removing. So battery goes in. Well, he scans the QR code first. Mm-hmm. Battery goes in, gets a fresh set of batteries. When the batteries come out, it's assigned to him. So the track and trace of that battery is very well managed.
Yeah.
And then there's smart technology in the back of the system that gives the rider notifications on low battery warnings, nearest station available, full telematics.
So just as a quick question, if, for example, he only swaps his battery with 20% left, does he pay for the 80% or does he pay for the full 100% swap of a battery?
So our business model is very different. Understanding in South Africa, electrification is pretty new.
Yeah.
So we're actually very happy that we are part of the first movers in South Africa. And being the first mover, obviously, there's a lot of challenges. Hmm. And we needed to remove complete friction from this process. So other companies across the globe use billing per swap or... Okay. Per use. What we did was we took the total solution, rental, insurance, maintenance, everything that the rider would ever want to do or need and package it in a weekly cost to him. So he's got unlimited swaps up to 5,000 kilometers a month.
Okay. So yeah. In other words.
So zero friction.
He does 5K KMs a month.
Yeah.
Done, covered.
100%.
If he does a bit more, he has to pay a little bit more.
Correct.
But then he's earning a lot more for doing
correct.
It. Makes all the sense in the world. That's yeah. clever. That's yeah. really clever.
And the interesting point there is where the rider at the moment in South Africa, a lot of them rent their bikes, even if it's a petrol. If we include everything that they require, there's zero cash flow required for them on a daily basis. Mm. And that has been the transition for us to scale as fast as we have already.
How many have you got up there?
Just over 1,000 already.
Wow.
Yeah. Three major cities up to Pretoria. So it started in Cape Town, then Durban, and from Johannesburg Central all the way to Pretoria.
Please tell me one of your anchor clients is Checkers 6060.
We're working on it.
Okay.
we did a pilot with them.
Yeah.
The moped that we have currently is not suited for the Checkers rider.
Okay.
We've developed a new vehicle which we'll be launching in February that is perfectly suited for Checkers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of adaption, innovation, and applying what you pick up as you go.
Oh yeah. So 2 years.
Challenging, difficult market.
So you gotta keep up with technology.
Yeah.
And you gotta continuously advance and better your product. The two bikes we have in South Africa at the moment went through already 5 iterations of upgrades. Mm. The battery system that we're using is moving to a better system next year. Because as technology advances, if you do not keep up with it, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the more exciting thing, because in my world, it's very simple. Two wheels bad, 4 wheels good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So for you super bike guys out there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cars. What is it and why is it specifically useful for Uber?
So some context how we got here.
Mm.
We started with the 2-wheeler. And because we did such a great job in the country with it, Uber asked us if we could get a vehicle that could come in at an X price.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been traveling to China for 25 years.
Okay.
It's my second home.
Yeah.
So my sourcing capabilities with my office in China is pretty strong. So we went through multiple manufacturers in China, and then we found one that we could work well together. We co-developed this car.
Okay.
To get the pricing right, the range. So it's purpose-built for Uber's low-cost category,
yeah,
which focuses on short trips, hyper-local, but a lot of trips.
Mm.
So when we designed this vehicle, we brought it in. We went through also 2 iterations of this product over a year of development,
mm-hmm.
settled on this, and brought it in and... To give you some context, generally a vehicle like this, if you take asset, maintenance, fuel on a petrol side, you're looking roughly at around 4.50 up to 5.50 per kilometer.
Mm.
We were able to get this down to about 3.50 a kilometer.
Okay.
So it's about a 35% to almost 40% saving for the driver in the back pocket.
So let's just pull that into context a little bit. That's the total cost of ownership. So it's the capital cost, running costs, and obviously, you know, insurance and all the other stuff that
correct.
Goes with it.
And energy.
Because generally when we look at EVs, we say that they are around about half the running cost in terms of your fuel cost.
Yes.
But when you factor in all the other costs, 3.50 or 5 rand, that's a significant chunk.
It's a big massive saving, especially for the drivers. And, you know, like we continuously interviewing our drivers that are on the platform. And yesterday I just saw a video. One of the management team interviewed a guy and he was just blown away. He says, I just don't have to worry about fuel anymore.
Yeah.
So it's...
And well, that's the cost the drivers see every day, isn't it?
Correct.
I don't see the monthly repayments of the capital coming into it, but of course it's that pain of at the pain at the pump, as we call it.
Correct. And what we don't realize, whether it's Uber or any other platform or any delivery guy, they need cash every day to fill fuel. Now, if you remove that hurdle and they're getting their money every week, then money lasts longer because it's a lump sum in their pocket every day, every week.
Mm.
So it changes the mindset of the driver. They're actually very happy, very excited about the opportunity. And most of the drivers are, like you, very excited to be a part of this revolution.
Well, hopefully they get a bit more money in their back pocket as well.
Yes.
So, so what's the actual brand behind the manufacturer? Who's the manufacturer of this?
So it's a company called Henry in China. Because we co-developed it, the model is actually a Voltainative model. So if you look at the registration, it's a Henry Voltainative vehicle.
Okay.
We will be getting into a next phase where the vehicle brand is Voltainative.
Okay.
So Voltainative is registered as a manufacturer, importer, and builder.
Immediately, where do I service the thing?
So we got three service centers, Durban, Joburg, Cape Town.
Yeah.
And we do everything internally at the moment. Okay. Yeah. Alignment, tires, panel beating, repairs, the whole shebang. We actually brought down three engineers from the factory to train the team here in South Africa. And so far, so good.
Of course, as the fleet expands, so will that.
Yeah.
All right. So the obvious question.
Yeah.
What's the range?
You're not going to believe it, but that small car gives a range of 280 kilometers.
280?
Yep.
Perfect for Uber.
Exactly.
I make a point of asking every Uber I get into, how many Ks a day do you do?
Yeah.
And it varies between 180 and 250.
Correct.
Generally.
And that's the reason why we spec'd it to that thing. very interesting note. It's the smallest car in the world with that range.
You mentioned something about fast charging. So will it DC charge?
Yes. So we actually, we're setting up our own DC charges across the country.
How big is the battery of this thing?
25 kilowatts.
25 kilowatts. Yeah. Okay. And maximum charge rate?
1C, so 25.
Okay.
So 1 hour you can have the whole thing charged. Okay. But because it's a fleet and we also, I don't know if you're familiar, but the last 20%, the first 20%, it takes very long.
Yeah.
So as long as we keep the charging 20 to 80, 35 minutes, we can have the car back on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's during the downtimes when Uber's not at peak.
Correct.
Okay. So your piloting, as far as I understand, is sort of, as you say, hyperlocal. So sort of Sandton, Rosebank, that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Are you going to expand it to further? Because I mean, if the car can do 280 Ks, why can't it just be more like a normal Uber range?
So the top speed is 90 kilometers per hour.
Ah.
Yeah.
So no highway driving. So limited highway driving.
Yeah, limited highway. It can go on the freeway, but we don't encourage it.
Yeah.
But it's purposely and designed for the short trips. Where the gap is from taxi to office, taxi rank to office, office to office, people moving around the Sandton, Rosebank, Randburg, four ways, where we seeing the big amount of trips.
Any interest from the courier companies?
In fact, I've got four. Interesting point. The exact same vehicle, what we did with the factory was seal off the back doors and put the tailgate. And we got a 450 kilo payload panel van. There's eight of them in the country at the moment. We finished our testing. We're giving four courier companies vehicles to pilot now. This looks like it's going to be a massive opportunity.
I think so. You
know, yeah.
It again, total cost of ownership.
Correct.
Lower and... Yeah. More efficient and.
And the courier companies don't want to have this in their book. So us providing the full lease, it suits them perfect.
Ballpark price. I'm not going to hold you to it, but if I wanted to buy one from you.
It's around the 200K mark.
Including my import duties.
Including everything. Aircon, power steering, DC charging, full telematics, electric windows. Yes, that's not to the market. So that's the reason why we're not starting the product. Okay. As Voltainative, we've taken a stance that the customer that really wants to own it might want to buy something different. By us providing a full lease, full maintenance lease, that's the customer we're targeting. And that's the business model that we're deploying in the country.
So that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
Some customers are pushing us to sell the vehicle. We're not ready yet.
Well, you know, when they reach end of life, the secondhand market for these might be more robust than you think.
Yeah, but we've got a repurposing, recycling program.
Okay.
That we are in development at the moment. So when these vehicles come, and the bikes, and our batteries, when they come out of life, we've got a program that will extend the life on the batteries for another 7 to 8 years, and then there's a lot of recyclable materials here.
Absolutely. In fact, the whole car can probably go for another 7-8 years as it is. So who knows?
Correct.
It's exciting times.
Yeah.
Mohammed, I can't wait to get inside it. In fact, I think that's the next thing we're going to do is jump into it and play around with it. I think this is a very exciting opportunity. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you prosper and go forward from success to success with this product.
Thanks a lot. And I must also add one more thing, right? So we started with the two-wheeler.
Mm.
We went to this four-wheeler. And there is, I can't tell you now, but there's two new product lineups for mid-next year. So anything?
I suspect someone's trying to get another slot back on our show in a couple of months' time.
Well, if you, you want know
what?
Me.
You're most welcome. We definitely will have you. You know, it's, anything electric is our game. We'd love to hear about it.
No, thank you. Thank
Consider
you.
It I'm a happy date. To be here. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mahmoud. All Appreciate right. it.
Thank you.
I'm a little bit worried about how happy you were when you did this. It was kind of like, I'm going to make Will disappear. I could do that too.
I'm gone.
I'm just like, oh my God. Where did I go?
So very interesting little company. I think they're going to do well.
I hope so. I hope yeah. so. This to me makes sense. You know, it absolutely makes sense.
Mm.
So let's see if my sensible hat actually has any traction.
So we have two segments in this episode. Our cup runneth over.
We're going from sensible to completely the nonsensible.
Opposite direction. You got to drive the Radara Bucky.
I did for a weekend eventually.
This is South Africa's first fully electric 4x4 Bucky.
Correct.
Mm.
Correct.
Your thoughts?
It's stupid fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had first of all, we had the Raptor as the fastest Bucky. Then that got dethroned by the Shark. And the Shark is going to get dethroned by this thing. This is a good half a second quicker.
Wow.
They claim a full second. We'll see.
Now, is this made by the same company that makes the Dongfeng?
This is actually under the Geely banner.
Oh, it's
so Geely's.
Okay.
This is Geely's pickup division.
And this is brought in by Enviro Automotive.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So,
what was the name of the cheaper model they did again?
The Dongfeng box. They bring that in as well.
It was the Dongfeng correct, box. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting vehicle. Mm-hmm. So as far as pickup utilities go, that's actually what it is. Mm-hmm. A Bucky. It's stupid fast. It has one or two.
Oh, my producer's telling me that I'm falling asleep here. I need to
put the
screen.
Picture up. Oh, yeah. Well,
thank you, Tedek.
There we go. That's what it looks like.
I think we just sit here and
let Tedek.
Yeah. Thanks for the direction. Carry on.
we need a director.
Well, I see his arms waving out of the corner of my eye.
So there it is. And really, it does everything reasonably well. There are one or two quirks that kick in, such as, you know, when it starts to get a little bit flat and the battery tends to dial down the power.
Okay.
You apparently can ignore them in the menu, which I missed. I didn't get that right. So mm-hmm. I just got slower and slower and slower as the battery got flatter and flatter and flatter. But I charged it from, I think it was down to about 13% to 80% in about 35 minutes at the 90 kilowatt charger.
Okay.
Perfectly acceptable. Put another 220 k's of range on the thing, and it's one of those cars that Buckies that you know you've got eco mode and you've got normal mode and you've got sport mode and you'll never take it out of sport mode because that's just where you're happiest with it, and yes, I didn't get to drive it off road, unfortunately. Oh. It was just I just only had it for the weekend.
Where did you take it? Just around Joburg?
Yeah, Sandton Jewelry. And potholes, it deals with potholes, no problem at all. It's got quite fat tackies on it.
Okay.
You'll see it in the review. There's we did a review on it. But yeah, the difficulty I have is that it's just over R1 million. How many are they going to sell?
Okay. So it's Shark territory, slightly above Shark territory.
You're not going to get faster than a Shark without paying the price. You know, mm-hmm. so you need to cheaper
than a certain Raptor.
Do you need to cough up a bit and yeah, Raptors, yeah. But the thing with it is, how many are they really going to sell? So it's going to be a niche product, I think. As they start to build out their dealership networks, and maybe they'll start to get more. Being part of Geely, it makes natural sense for them to partner with Geely in terms of their network brand to roll it out and get more exposure that way. So we'll see. Certainly, and quite interesting, a hit on it. Quite a few people commenting, what Bucky is this? So the one I drove had fully electric down the side, of course.
Did you lean out the window and say, it's electric?
I actually did. I actually did. And I thought, I caught myself saying, I've said this before somewhere. you know, it's written on the side, fully electric. I'm kind of like, if I have to explain that it's electric, you know, maybe it's not just me. but yeah, so no, I enjoyed it. Let's see how many there are.
All right, well, I haven't even seen this segment yet, so I'm looking forward to watching it with everyone, and please take it away.
Well, today you find me at the wheel of what is a very interesting vehicle, an electric 4x4 Bucky, first of its kind in South Africa. Francois, am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
And it is I am horrible when it comes to pronunciation. Absolutely horrible. I've barely just learned how to perfect Porsche. I mean, Porsche. See what I mean? I'm sitting in a Radara. Is that the correct way of pronouncing
it? That's correct, yeah.
And Radara is the luxury brand from Geely.
That's correct.
Which is a Chinese manufacturer of electric vehicles.
Yes.
And this is... amazing! What is the 0-100 time?
4.5 seconds.
Wow! It certainly feels it. It certainly feels it. We're just in the suburbs of Joburg, so unfortunately we can't quite hit the 100 km an hour test limit. But as with all EVs, the takeoff and the acceleration is impressive, and I've only been in the vehicle about, 30 seconds, 40 seconds now. It's quite a thing, just learning all the knobs and switches here. Dual motor, 315 kilowatts?
That's correct, yeah.
Range of?
And WLTP is 425.
400 and?
425 on the trip computer, and if you drive nicely, get under 20 kilowatt per 100 kilometers.
And this vehicle weighs 2.3 odd tons, yes. 2.275, something like that.
Yeah,
impressive. And the regen braking, as we discussed earlier, is on maximum, which is great because it's really true one pedal driving. It's one of the big things about EVs that I absolutely adore. Just having to lift my foot off, I don't have to move it over to the brake and apply the brake, because it's just, you know, too much effort these days. Why one bothers? And of course all that lovely energy is being regen straight back into the batteries.
Yeah, and it means your brake pads will last longer as well.
There's stories about Teslas overseas that are now coming up for 7-8 years old that have never had brake pads changed. It's quite remarkable if you think about it.
Yeah, but if you drive it in one pedal driving, you're using the motors to brake, so you're not using the brake pads then.
Exactly, and along with all the other associated running costs, which are covered in some detail on the Tech Central website on an article I wrote earlier, just a self-unashamed plug there. In terms of sales for this Radara, are South Africans, do you think, ready for an electric 4x4 Bucky?
It all depends on perspective, according to me. So, I mean, some of your double cab buggies gives you 6 kilometers per liter of diesel. So it all depends on what you want to pay for a little bit of extra power.
Yeah.
And what you want to use it for.
Let's just clarify, it's not just a little bit of extra power. It's a lot of extra power. 315 kilowatts. I think the only petrol powered version that comes close to that is the Raptor, 290 odd.
Yeah, and so what will your running cost be per kilometer on that vehicle?
I think in diesel or petrol alone, I beg your pardon, it doesn't use diesel. Petrol alone, it's going to be significant. So it's, yeah, I guess that's where it is. Practical applications on these things. Now, I know the Shark, for example, has challenges when it comes to its total weight because it's quite a heavy vehicle. And obviously, I'm going straight there because that's a natural competitor to this, even though it's not a complete EV. And even though it's a ladder chassis body on, as opposed to this, which is
a unibody.
Unibody vehicle. And the difference between ladder frame and unibody for our listeners is?
It's got a structural battery pack and it's one complete unit. so there's no separate gap between the rear loading bin and the vehicle.
And about 500 kilos lighter.
Yeah.
What's the sort of load capacity you can chuck on the back of this thing?
1 ton.
And towing?
3 ton.
Okay, 3 tons braked.
Yes.
That's not too bad. Are there any indications of what happens to your battery range when you're towing 3 tons?
We haven't done, didn't have the chance yet to do that testing yet.
You know, I like the fact that you said that as opposed to the Chinese say it is. It's important to us to test these things under South African conditions.
And that is what we're busy doing now.
100%. 100%. I genuinely appreciate that, because far too many people go on manufacturer specs that turn out to be completely hopeless in terms of what they claim versus what's actually delivered. And in South Africa, I think our tons are heavier than other tons, because we just seem to, we seem to be able to, I'm just going to go straight past this guy. See ya. Such old school technology. I mean, it's a turbo diesel and it disappeared. It was just goodbye. I don't understand why anyone would actually, on a like-for-like basis, even consider diesel anymore these days. But, that's just me. I am a buzzhead.
But it comes back to perspective.
Comes back to perspective.
As I said, it comes back to, if you've got a lot of our customers is looking at these vehicles, they've gone full solar already. So they don't have an issue solar charge these vehicles.
Talking about that, this has got VTL, hasn't it?
Which
is vehicle to load, valued and important viewer. And vehicle to load basically allows you to connect up to, 6 kilowatts?
6 kilowatts on this vehicle.
So you can drive your entire house, literally, off this vehicle.
Yes.
6 kilowatts is quite a lot.
That's correct.
It makes itself a natural integration into off-grid applications where your solar charges your vehicle during the day, or charges your batteries, or charges both, and you can hop and switch between the energy sources as you need them.
Yes.
Makes all the sense in the world. So you can off-grid your house and off-grid your car.
It sounds like new technology.
So... we haven't discussed the thorny issue of price, and I understand that you haven't formally released the pricing on this vehicle yet. We'll make our predictions of what we think it's going to cost maybe a bit later on.
But let's focus a bit on what your savings and running cost would be.
Significant, isn't it? What's the service interval in this vehicle?
Every 10,000 kilometers is a safety check. Just checking all the systems.
What does that entail?
Basically,
wheels are still attached.
Yeah, and all electrical parts are still fine. There's not any issues of any wiring. If anything got into the wiring harness, just normal safety check, just 101 point check, like you will do any safety check on.
Take you an hour?
Yeah.
Cost you a couple $100?
Yes.
Where would that be done, given that Enviro Automotive is relatively new and relatively small,
We've partnered with Wilgen Holdings now. We've been the DFSK brand officially in South Africa now.
Yeah.
And there's already 20 dealerships across the country.
Bear with me. Oh! 20 dealerships across the country.
20 dealerships and growing by the month, so that will be our preferred service partner.
So DFSK and Geely, or in this case Radara, will be serviced at the same place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, and then in areas where there's not, if for any other reason there's not a DFSK dealership close by, then we will make sure there is a service center that we will partner with.
Let's get to the thorny issues. What's the warranty on this thing in terms of the vehicle, and then of course on the battery? The
vehicle is 150,000 kilometers.
150,000 Ks.
Yeah, and the battery is 200,000 Ks.
200,000 Ks?
Yeah.
Is there a lifespan attached to 200,000 Ks?
It is 6 years.
6 years stroke 200,000 Ks on the battery. All right. I think that's reasonable, and as I think Duncan and I touched on our last podcast, there was
there is quite a lot of emerging evidence suggesting that battery lives are actually being underestimated by manufacturers by a significant margin.
But and the reason for that is manufacturers, when they test the batteries, it is very hectic and very stringent.
Of course, they're being conservative and they want to do worst case scenario so that they're not trapped by thousands and thousands of warranty claims. So
definitely,
if you look after your battery and you look after your vehicle, you can expect significantly longer lifespans than that. In terms of the running costs that we were chatting about, in other than the 10-point safety check, what other servicing requirements are a need on an EV like this?
It's got coolant that needs to be changed on 20,000 kilometers.
So you mean there is a fluid that actually needs to be changed?
Yeah,
it's coolant.
Coolant, yeah.
Okay.
And brake fluid, because the way you're driving, you're going to. But you use your one pedal driving, so you're not using your brake fluid a lot. But
exactly.
And so those are the fluids of the vehicle: brake fluid and coolants.
Is the coolant a specific type of coolant, or is it just generic coolant you can buy off the shelf?
It is generic. It is a specific generic coolant. It's got a specific ratio that just needs to be checked.
Okay, so we're not talking. It's a case of. Dear and valued customer, here's your printer. It costs you 300 Rand. The ink for it costs you 3,000 Rand. It's not that case here.
No, it's not such a special. It's a coolant that can be bought at any...
Fantastic.
At any shop.
Fantastic. Right, well, let's get back to doing some driving with this thing. I'm looking forward to getting to grips with it. Thank you, Francois.
And the other thing, this vehicle's got a maintenance-free diff.
There's more! Maintenance-free diff.
Mm.
So, wireless charging, 65-watt USB, what other toys do I have? What other toys do I need? No head-up display?
No.
Option?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, that for me is a big thing. I think HEDs are an important safety feature. What I am enjoying about this, Duncan, is the silence. There's no bonging. There's no bloody ADAS,
ADAS
annoying.
Yes.
You can't change this lane. You can't.
I've switched everything off. Must I switch it on?
No.
Okay.
and the fact that I turned the vehicle on and it didn't rearm itself.
Well, the fact that it's off.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
Is amazing. In fact, we must just talk about that as one of these things.
Here is all the shortcuts. So yeah, everything can be switched on or off. And then you can edit these shortcut buttons as well. But y'all specifically switched everything especially off for you.
No, thank you.
But if you want me to put on the level 2 driving...
Is this thing still recording?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll just do a quick...
I can put the level 2 self-driving on for you and then we can just set it on 60 kilometers an hour. Then you can just stay nicely in the lanes.
Absolutely not. One of the things I love about this car is that the ADAS can be turned off. Well, largely off. I imagine there are some passive safety features that will kick in the event I do something really stupid, like try and drive over this Willys dash.
But I mean, this dash is driving in the right place in the yellow lane.
Yeah, that's...
So if you turn left, the next robot, you'll head back down towards our office.
Yeah, 100%. It's nice. There's a little bit of more of a noise from the motors than I'm used to. Is that deliberate or is that just fact of life? That sounds like the...
That's a pedestrian noise.
Is that for the pedestrians?
That's said the Willys dash that's driving 5 kilometers an hour can hear you. You can hear it goes away over 30 kilometers an hour. It's gone.
Okay, so that's actually deliberate.
Yeah.
I am enjoying the absence of bongs, of alerts, of warnings, of everything. You can drive this car in quiet and in comfort. I have to say the seats here are remarkably comfortable. They really, really comfy.
It's
I like
very,
them.
Very nicely appointed cabin.
It is, in the vernacular sense. Do the rear seats fold? I mean, do they tilt?
Yeah.
They do tilt.
If you're still getting hot, I can put the ventilated seats on for you.
It's got ventilated seats.
Yeah.
Sold.
So yes, it's front and back.
Okay, but it's all driven off a menu.
So, William, hot or not? Where does this Bucky fall?
Look, it's got stupid speed. It's fully electric. It's got one or two quirks it needs to iron out, which is just pure software type stories. I really like driving it. It's mm-hmm. It's a nice big double cab Bucky. It's not, what's not to like? So I'm kind of, it's not super hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too many.
Just slide this issues, over to you.
One little issues here, but it's better than cool.
Okay.
It's probably closer to cool than to there, but it's somewhere in between. Yes.
So that's pretty impressive.
It's a million rand flipping thing that's 0 to 104.5 seconds. It's gonna be impressive.
All right.
You know, and
so, press both. There we go.
A lot of toys in it as well. But yeah.
Good.
Mm.
So while we're on hot or not, we need to do Uber Electric. How would you rate this? No, it's a difficult one.
I love the concept.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact I'm only going to be in it for 5 minutes mm-hmm. at a time.
mm-hmm.
So
I think we need to rate this in two ways. First of all, we need to rate it as a rider, and then we need to rate it as a driver.
So
I'll leave you to the you were the rider on in our segment. So you can pick it as a rider, and then I'll choose it as a driver.
As being driven around in it, yeah, it's cool. It's cheap, horrible, and nasty, but it's cheap. And it's cheap.
But it's cheap.
I really like the cheap part of it, and I really like the fact
it's not really nasty.
It's not nasty, but it's you know, but it's been built to a price,
yeah.
and you can
it's
see
a spec,
that
to a spec,
and the fact that it's cheap is you so in context of it being cheap,
mm-hmm.
it's got to sit somewhere here, I think.
Okay,
so yeah, it's a tough one. With sound deadening, there. Without sound deadening, there.
What was that?
Meh.
It sounds like a sheep.
I'm perfectly happy to be driven around in it.
Okay.
I wouldn't want one on my driveway yet.
I'm going to be a bit contentious in this one. Mm. Yeah. So
fancy that.
So this is a 200,000 rand car. Uber, you lease it
and
from...
And it's fully electric. It's got 280
Ks. It's got 280 Ks. It's new in the market. It's pioneering. It's doing something that hasn't been done in this market before. It's great for Uber drivers because, you know, for the first 5,000 kilometers, you're getting free battery top-ups. Oh, yeah, I think it's amazing for what it is. I'm giving this a super cool.
As a business concept?
Yeah, as a business concept.
I can't fault you. Mm. I can't fault you.
And it's designed to spec, and that spec for the price is good. So... Super cool.
Okay, done.
Right. The last one we need to do is the new Volvo EX60, which has been confirmed for South Africa, coming in the third quarter of 2026. Now, this is not actually a picture of it. This
what
is,
we've done is we've created what we think it looks like by stealing it from Carwell's. Who've done the work for us.
Yeah,
thanks, Carwell. that's what they think it looks like. I don't think they're going to be too far off it.
No,
you know,
I think it's about right.
EX60 is going to be an interesting car. God, what are they going to price it at?
So, I've got a couple of specs here. It's going to use the same SPA3 platform as the EX90 and ES90.
Oh, wow.
Which is a 2.5 million rand
car,
which is rather extraordinary. And they say it's going to be positioned between the XC40 Recharge and the EX90.
Which is 1.3.
And the other one is 2.65.
So it's going to be 1.7.
1.7, 1.8 million.
That's expensive. That's a lot.
That's expensive, you know, especially if you consider the BMW, the new BMW. Is it the iX3?
Yeah, and you've got C-Line 7.
Mm.
There's a lot in
that. The C-Line 7 is a stunning car.
You got a lot. So it's not quite SUV-ish to the same extent the Volvo is, but it's, you know, you got, it's Swedish, it's Volvo.
Well, it's Chinese. It's
built up. It's Swedish, it's Volvo.
Made in China, it's like all of them.
Swedish, Volvo. Damn it!
Is it worth the premium?
It needs to be cheaper.
It's too expensive.
It's going to be, but let's see what Volvo do with the pricing.
But the XC40 Recharge is too expensive. The EX90 is too expensive. So it's probably going to be too expensive.
It's probably going to be too expensive, and that's just disappointing. Well, you know.
Yeah.
But it's
Swedish. Chinese Swedish.
I love the XC60s.
Mm-hmm.
I love the XC90.
They're beautiful cars.
Fabulous cars.
Brilliantly made, reliable, they'll never break down.
Just
burns the wallet of it. So we have to consider price in deciding what we're going to do here, and we don't have the full spec on this in much detail yet. So this is really a subjective decision based on what CarWow thinks the thing's going to look like
and what toys they're going to put inside. It'll have the full safety suite. It'll have the head up displays. It'll have auto flipping everything.
Yeah.
It'll have a sound bar in it. It'll have save the planet bunny hugging eco friendly recycled plastics in there that look like they're made from solid walnut because Volvo do that better than anybody else.
Swedish, Chinese.
And you won't know that it's recycled, but it'll be 95% recyclable at the end of its life. Mm. It's just kinder to the planet and you'll never see one in landfill because it'll just self-degrade into something.
No, it'll just keep working forever.
Pile of little flowers in 100 years' time or something,
It'll still be on the roads in the year 2065.
It's a Volvo, it will be, So, it's got all of that going for it. But the pricing is a concern in our market.
But we don't know the pricing yet, so I guess we can't judge it on that. So we really are just judging. Maybe
we just wait until it comes out.
We have lots of buttons to press in our next segment. So
we've got lots of buttons to press. I can't wait for our next segment.
Our final segment before we take a break in season one of What's in Wheels. We'll be back for part two of season
part
one
two.
In a couple of months. But who does this? I've forgotten who does this.
South African Guild of Motoring Journalists.
It's sponsored by someone, I've forgotten who. Is it Old Mutual?
Yes.
It is Old Mutual. Yeah. Car of the Year, 2026 semi-finalists. Last year's winner, 2025's winner, was the BMW X3.
Mm-hmm.
They now have a list of semi-finalists. OEMs take this competition very, very seriously.
This is the first round, Basically, you get onto the shortlist, and from here, then they select the finalists and the categories and then the overall winners.
So we now have a semi-finalist list of 30 cars. And William and I are going to be judge, jury, and executioner.
We are.
And we're going to go through this list quickly, and we're going to press buttons.
Well, we don't need to, because, car number one is going to win. That's the end of it.
Oh, so okay. End of show. That's a wrap.
So we'll come back to car number one last.
Okay.
We'll do cars number 2 to 30.
All right. You do two to ten, and I'll pick up from 11.
Which those piddly competition even gets close to car number one, which they won't. So first of all, we have the Audi A5.
Don't know it very well.
Boring as hell. No. RSQ8. Stupid car. Why do you have a Q8 with an RS badge on it? It's a stupidly fast SUV. It makes about as much sense as that Cayenne Electric does.
Which means it's super cool.
Which is an Audi. So,
Which means it's expensive.
Mm. And why would you buy that instead of a Cayenne? It's because you can't afford the Cayenne.
Mm-hmm.
Work harder, get a better job, earn more money.
BMW, how do you really feel, William?
BMW 2 Series Grand Coupe.
Please don't get us sued, by the way.
Stunning. I like BMWs. I like BMWs.
Yeah.
So that for me is...
Except for the optional extras, like the wheels.
That is cool.
Two Series Grand Coupe.
Cherry Tiggo 7 PHEV. I mean,
you missed number 5 and 6.
Oh, sorry. BYD Dolphin Surf. I mean, that's cheapest EV on the market currently that you can buy, not lease.
You've driven that.
I've driven it at launch.
Yeah.
Haven't driven it around enough to know.
You have an advantage over me because I haven't even.
I think this is a cool car.
Yeah.
I think this is a cool car. And it's really important for the EV market. And I think already based on what we've seen, the number I've already seen driving.
There's a lot on the roads.
There are already a lot on the roads. Mm-hmm. So I think the numbers are going to be cool. No, I don't think it's not quite super cool yet. It's
cool.
There. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, the Shock. I mean, the Shock is just, that's happy with that. Cherry tickets.
When is mine coming, by the way?
We need one. Getting test cars out of BYD is, Cherry Tiggo 7 PHEV. So this is the right car in the right segment at the right price.
That's about 690. That's about six. About 600. That car, I think.
Goes like off a stick, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Again, haven't driven it. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But on paper, I think it's cool. Tiggo 9, just a big SUV.
Mm-hmm. No. That's not a PHEV. That's not electrified at all.
No.
No.
And H7.
Same.
And then because I drive a Honda, the Amaze is amazing. That's just because I drive. Sneaking that one in. Honda Alcazar.
I need to I need to do this when you press the super button.
Oh, because it says Duncan. Oh, you snuck that in there. Cheeky bugger.
We're not paying attention when I was recording.
No, we're not. Okay, so that's my 10. You could do 11 to whatever.
11, all right. Okay. I might need your help here because I don't know all of these cars. Like this one, the Hyundai Alcazar. I've never even heard of it.
Entry-level SUV crossover. So it's basically a small crossover, around about 300,000 to 350,000 rand.
Yeah.
Mahindra XUV type territory, new to the market.
I see.
Again, yeah, haven't driven it. Don't know. Can I abdicate?
Okay, we'll abdicate on that one. Hyundai Santa Fe, you have driven that one, haven't you? You haven't.
That was at the same time NAMSA happened.
I
was on the border of getting one. I drove the previous version, and the Santa Fe is a lovely big SUV. Mm-hmm. It's a 2.2-liter turbo diesel motor, one of the best motors that Hyundai have ever made. And it's a lovely, lovely car. I think that's cool.
Okay.
I do think that's cool. That's in with a shot.
Didn't go. It's not firing. Battery's dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, just going to press it harder. The Jaeku J5. Now, I test drove the Jaeku J7 PHEV a couple of months ago, and it wasn't bad.
Okay.
Wasn't bad, actually.
I don't know the J5.
I don't know the J5 yet at all.
I'm going to abdicate
that. I think it's just a smaller J7.
And I'm going to abdicate the J2 T2, which was the one they pushed down a mountain on Costa Cosa. I think it was the T2.
Was it?
Okay. Pushed it off the edge of a mountain. It was so bad.
Presumably with J2's backing.
Well, I don't think it was that bad. I think they did it just to prove that you could get into drive off of it, having rolled a ton of mountain. Just nuts. But there you go.
That's fine. J2, if you want to send us one to blow up, we're very happy to blow it up for you.
Or drive it, yeah. Mm. And then you get the Land Rover Defender Octa. Again, a stupid car. Ridiculous power. Totally over the top in all specifications. Why make it? Because we can.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's a planet warmer, is it?
It's a halo model for mm-hmm. Land Rover. And yeah, just again, ridiculous power, ridiculous spec, ridiculous everything.
So where are you going to put that
because
one?
Because it's a Land Rover, I'm not going to go, man, I'm going to go. It is cool. It is cool.
Okay.
Stupid overpowered SUVs, but yeah, it's a Land Rover. I've got a soft spot for them.
I know the next one, the Leapmotor C10 Reeve, which I have driven. I was going to press the mare button, but they've probably fixed the software.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. It's bland, boring, and comes
it,
in
it
colors.
It is bland and boring.
Comes in colors of drab, but it's cool. It's got
the sort of car you buy with your head, not your heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And which means they'll probably sell bucket loads of them.
Yeah.
Lexus GX.
Oh, drove that. Mm-hmm. Stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. I mean, it's a Lexus.
How many litres per 100?
Lots. If you have to ask the price of how much fuel it uses, you can't afford the car.
I think you've done a hot or not on this one already in the previous episode.
I can't remember what I did, but I think it was that.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's bloody cool. It's just the reason I think it's cool is because it's indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is indestructible. Mm-hmm. And
give it to the cars.co.za guys. I'm sure they'll
push that down. The mountain will roll around the Lexus. This is what will happen. And that's be the last one they ever get.
We've got three Mercs coming up. Maybe we'll just do them all at once. The Mercedes AMG CLE 53, the Mercedes AMG E53 Hybrid, and the Mercedes AMG GT63 SE. I don't know any of these cars, but they all sound impressive.
What I'll say about these is that they're all AMGs, first of all, which mm-hmm. tells you something. And the noticeable absence of a Porsche on this list
mm-hmm.
relegates those three AMGs into where Porsche would have been.
Ah.
If there was a Porsche on here, that's what it is. So Mercedes are playing in the only space that they've got left to them.
Mm-hmm.
High performance, fuel-powered Porsche territory.
Mm-hmm.
And they're banging up against the Porsche.
And these have always been nice cars.
And, you know, they, over a Porsche, I mean, the GT63 is redunculous. Mm-hmm. It's just that is a cool car.
Mm-hmm.
The other two.
Really?
Really?
Okay. Do you want to do the rest of the list?
MG Cyberster.
Oh, I know where you're going with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've got.
Even though it has no boot space.
I have no option with that. I've owned I've owned tens of MGs.
Oh, yeah.
You have two happy days in the life of an MG owner. The day you buy it, and then the day you rebuy it. Because you never really sell them. They always go. I bought one car back three times.
So Cyberstone, super cool. I would say if you're buying it with your head, it's probably still cool.
No,
but
it's stupid cool. Stupid fast, stupid cool. It's a two-door thing with scissor doors.
Just don't expect to put your luggage in the back.
It's fantastic. Mm. The ZS Pro, I'm sorry, no. Just meh.
I didn't even know the ZS Pro. What is it?
It's entry-level sort of. The HS is the better car.
Okay.
The Mini Aceman, it's kind of like the electric Mini.
And it's the milk delivery car.
I drove it. It's surprisingly good fun to drive down briefly in
overpriced though.
Yeah, so it's between red and yellow, but it's blue. Emoto C7, you like that?
I like the Emoto C9. I haven't driven the C7. The C9 is a stunning car. Okay. I'm sure the C7 is still luxurious, but just
don't know it.
But I'm sure it's a good car. But I think we'll.
Abdicate
on that one.
Okay, so the Grandland I haven't driven. I have driven the Mokka, and being an Opel, it will be a fabulous car. Overpriced.
Oh.
So that's where I think, but I haven't driven, so I'm going to.
Is Opel still known as Vauxhall in the UK?
Abdicate. Yes, I think so. Yeah. So I'm going to again sit on that fence and abdicate it.
I don't know it at all.
The Duster I have driven, the new Duster is a different kettle of fish. And, you know, Renault have got a reputation for building really cheap, horrible and nasty cars in every sense of the word. And if you've ever driven a Quid as a rental car, you will agree with me that actually slicing we can't talk about self-mutilation on the show, but you would want to rather than get back into the Quid. It is a terrible thing. It really is cheap. It really is horrible. It really is nasty. But the Duster, on the other hand, is a new generation of Renaults that I think has built on their reputation that the Duster is actually the one to buy. It's still cheap, but it's not horrible and nasty. It's built to a price, but it has decent quality and decent longevity built into it. So again, I haven't driven the Renault Duster, but I am inclined to give it a bit of a cool thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Suzuki Desire, you know, that's just because Toyota don't have a car in here today.
They don't. Places. Surprisingly.
I don't want to say it leaves much to desire, but they're better Suzukis. I don't know why the new Swift's not here.
Oh, okay.
That would be a far better car. I mean, they sell those by the pantload, and I've seen millions of them on the road already. And I think they're uglier than the old one, but they're selling like mad cakes. So I'm sitting on the fence with the design.
Last three on this list.
Okay. Volvo Golf 1.4 TSI. Oh, for God's sake.
They sell millions of them.
It's a Golf 1.4 TSI. What's that to get excited about?
Nothing.
It's just like. No, that's a.
Meh. But they'll still sell millions of them.
The Tyrone, on the other hand, is the new VW, which, again, know nothing about. Haven't driven.
Know nothing about it either.
But it's new, built on the Polo platform, and I hope that it's finally going to replace Polo in exports, because Polo is shooting the lights on exports, 11,000 last month. So. That's an exciting car for VW. I think it's an important car for VW. It needs to do well. So I suspect that they are throwing the kitchen sink at it and making sure it's as good as it can. Because I think that's their next generation of cars to run that
factory. I'll look out for that
factory
one.
Going. But again, haven't driven it, so I'm going to sit on the fence on that. And then the EX90 I have driven. That is a
stunning,
super cool car. Just too expensive.
Yeah, so 2.6 million.
It won't win. So we get to the winner.
Beautiful. The winner.
The winner of the year this year.
We need a Vuvuzela or something in here.
Is without any doubt.
I'll beat the table.
With everything on here, even with the price, Alfa Romeo Junior. Done.
That's your pick.
Done.
That should win it.
If that does not win, there's a travesty of justice that will have taken place.
I was going to ask you who you think will win this. No, who do you think should win it, and who do you think will win it?
No, it's the same car.
Same car.
And
that should work. If money was no object, you could buy any of these.
Ooh, God.
Which one would you buy?
Oh, you know. If money's no object.
Mm.
Ooh, you're going to hate me. Well, it has to be the GT63. I mean,
yeah, I'd probably go there too.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm tempted.
Oh, the EX90. Yeah, I'd look seriously at that.
It is a lovely, it's just too expensive, but it's a lovely, it's a lovely, sensible car. Yeah. You feel, yeah, you just feel like $1 million in it. It's just does everything well.
Yeah.
And then I did like it. You would have to give me the difference in price between this and this on a fuel card.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's, then we're there.
I think, I don't know who's going to win. I think there's a chance the Shark 6 might do quite well.
I think the Shark 6 might do very well.
Mm. It's shaken up that segment.
I think it might do very well.
It's shaken up the Bucky segment, and there are a lot of them on the road now.
Yeah, it's. I mean, these lists are always wide open. Mm. They're judged generally by upwards of, I think, 24 odd judges,
right?
Who are all very experienced, accredited motoring journalists, well respected in the preference in the. Don't have opinions of their own. I'm sure. No, okay, of course they have the opinions of their own.
Unlike us,
it's very much a case of the right car will win. But
the right car always win in this competition?
Well, there have been years where that's been up for debate. Mm-hmm. There always will be controversy,
Which is the fun of these things.
But I really hope that Alpha does well. It deserves to.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves to. I just hope enough journalists have had an opportunity to drive it because it is so new.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
We'll know in May when I think the competition is or ends. That's the end of episode 4 and part
some
1
predictions
of What's in Wheels. We'll be back in a couple of months with another 4 episodes to wrap
Let's
out
do it.
Season 1, but it's been exciting. Wheels at Tech Central William is the email address to send us hate mail to.
If you don't agree with my choice for car of the year, do send us what you think should win, and I'll dutifully ignore it. Just remember to like, subscribe.
Tell all your friends
or not.
And what else do we need to say before we wrap up this?
That's it. We'll see you on the flip side in the next.
See you in a couple of months. Thanks for watching What's in Wheels, and I'm Duncan MacLeod. That is Prince William. Until next time.